told they'd never do a tikkun in their whole lives. But the Yetzer is telling you, you're happy, you see, you haven't done anything. The exact opposite is true. The exact opposite is true. You're a star. That's what you need your spiritual guide to tell you. You're down on yourself. Why are you getting down on yourself? You're no good. You're great. You're a star. You're a star. And you're going to be even a bigger star. You see, this is the lies that the Yetzer tells. And sometimes I get letters, you know, they read me, that they read books, and things. I get angry. I said, what did you get angry about? Nothing to be angry about. The anger is disappointed myself. This one, same thing. The tikkun, be happy. Be happy. Women have the same thing. Even more than men, because in fact, men are more logical, and women are more sensitive, more emotional. And so they get a lot of this stuff. But you have to know, don't listen to the Yetzer. Don't listen to the Yetzer. You're doing fine. Keep on doing what you're doing. You're doing great. You're doing great. The Yetzer is telling you losing? No, you're winning. The Yetzer is a liar when he says up is down, down is up. Okay. And don't get vertigo. Look at the Torah. That's the truth. So that is another thing about a spiritual guide. But really, don't be afraid to get hit. Don't afraid to get hit. Best thing, like they say, riding a horse, you fall off the horse, get up again. And like in boxing, or like in hand-to-hand combat, the most important thing in hand-to-hand combat is getting, not getting fallen, not getting knocked down, is how fast you get back on your feet. Because there's a thing, the Melitz Rebbe used this, huh? There are two guys fighting in the war. One guy gets shot in the arm, and he's, shot in the butt! The minute he does that, he's going to get a bullet in his head, he's going to get killed. But another soldier, okay, got shot in the right arm, takes his rifle, moves to the left arm, keeps on firing. And eventually, the second soldier wins the war. And he comes home, and he is better. Right? Don't worry. If you made a mistake, you got the wrong guy, go. And people tell you, I remember when I was in a certain Hasidus, and I know this wasn't for me, and the social pressure, when you leave, it was like way back when I first went to Israel, I was on kibbutz. Okay, I left the kibbutz, they were almost shot me. And they really, you know, the social pressure, forget the social pressure, we're bothering to us. Don't bother us. That's one of the luxuries we have. Let the FFBs worry about social pressure. They got a problem because they're born into a certain place. We don't have a problem. So if you're about tshuva, you should really get up and you want to dance. You want to boogie. Hey, BT boogie. That's it. I have a friend, Lenny Solomon. Maybe you remember Lenny Solomon. That's a good thing for Lenny. Write a song, BT boogie. He'll do that. Okay? Question. Go ahead.
Yeah. I know that Hashem doesn't put stumbling blocks before blind people to, you know, doesn't prevent them from performing mitzvah. So if a Jewish couple is trying to have children and has been having quite a lot of difficulty for a long time, and there's a mitzvah of being, obviously, having Jewish children, how does this Jewish couple, I guess, have the understanding of what's going on, considering that it can be a lot of suffering going on?
Great question. Great question. What Chazal tell us about the Ovis, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, and the mamas, Sarah Rivka Rachel, Leah had kids. Leah should have kids also, but if Leah did not have the humiliation that she had, then she would have difficulty in kids also. Leah had the humiliation. First of all, the Hashem wants to hear her prayers. I know that's not much of a consolation, but it works. Second of all, there's a lot you can do. There's a lot you can do. Third of all, know that Hashem's doing what's best because you don't have a printout for your neshama. How can this be for the best? There are a lot of scenarios how it can be for the best. But basically, there's a lot to do. I have seen it be much more successful on faith than on doctors. Okay. This is very individual. It's very difficult to answer generally, but if anyone wants a specific answer to himself, you should let him get in touch with me. Okay, a lot of people I put in touch with the Melitzer, another tzaddik, and they could say, the Melechites in specific situation, what's good for a couple, if you do this, there's all kinds of things to do. We just have to, the biggest beneficial thing that a couple can do to have kids is get strengthened in emuna. And this is not what they say in Spanish, palabra. This is not semantics. It's just Hashem, we know you're doing the best. We accept it. We want kids in order to do your will. That's all. That's the whole ballgame. To raise them to Torah. And a person commit, the more Hashem, we want to get stronger. We want to have kids to raise them to Torah. You'll see all kinds of gates open. And you really have to check yourself. Because most people want kids because the mother-in-laws are pressuring. And because the neighbors already have kids. But you really check, you know, the L'shem Shemayim. And this is what Hannah did when she was praying for Shmuel, when she didn't have kids. She says, Hashem, if you give me a child, it's yours. Okay, Hashem, you give me a child, I'm going to raise that child for pure Torah and mitzvahs. Okay, Hashem, help me, not just for you, but to glorify and sanctify your name. And works big magic. There's a lot of little side details, but that's basically the thing. Well, you can ask Akash on that. You can ask Akash on that. You can say, well, you know, why? Here you can see in Mexico, and you can see in Gaza, and, you know, there's no shortage of shahidim. There's a waiting list of 130,000 Palestinian kids waiting to be shahidim. You know, so how come they got kids right and left? You know, you can go down to Paraguay and you can adopt 50 kids if you want. They're all right in the streets. And yes, you can do. Because the Yetzer, he's not stopping the birth rates in Paraguay and in Gaza and in Southside Chicago. But for a Baal Tshuva, with a Baal Tshuva wife, to have kids, this is for the Yetzer, is like having another Baal Shem Tov being born. Do you know why? Because a Baal Tshuva and his wife, they know exactly what they're doing. There's no mitzvah Hashem Elumada. Mitzvah Hashem Elumada. Give me a quick translation of mitzvah Hashem Elumada. Rote Yiddishkeit. There's no rote Yiddishkeit. He knows exactly why he's saying Kiddush. He knows exactly why he's washing out his Kiddush cup before he's saying Kiddush. She knows exactly what she's doing. These are what are called Bnei Da'at. They have such heightened, Balei Tshuvas have such heightened spiritual awareness. And the kids of Balei Tshuvas are unbelievable. I see kids in Israel. They're at the top of the yeshivas. They're at the top of the Beis Yaakov. And the Yetzer don't want these kids coming into the world. That's the whole fight. It's a fight. But don't lose faith. You're going to win. Because Hashem is going to have it. Hashem wants to see you. How are you going to fight the battle? All right. How do you fight the battle? With prayer and with emunah. Okay. Take another year. Take another 2 years. This is level of difficulty. Okay. You're not a couple in Southside Chicago or in Gaza. Or, you know, go ahead. The Yetzer says that. You want another shahid coming into the world? Okay. Have 10 of them. Have 12 of them. Can Balei Tshuvas? He's a Baal Tshuva. His wife's a Baal Tshuva. He learns Torah. She has a Torah house. They want to have kids. Yetzer grows up. Hashem, no way. I don't have kids for that. Okay, so Hashem's... They don't deserve it. They don't... Look at this. He goes over and all and brings up the Midas Adin. Look at their past Gilgulim. The Yetzer does everything in the world to fight Baal Tshuvas from having kids. And when he gives them kids... Gives them kids like what's in Israel. Here, Akiva was in Israel not long ago. See the Balei Tshuva families and how poor they are? Okay. So you want kids? So they're just okay. Don't give them money to feed them, don't give them money to clothe them, this and that. It works the other way. Now I see what Ma'ariv, what do we say in Ma'ariv? Hasel sot milfaneinu u'me'achareinu. So you can say in a car race, okay, I got a guy blocking me, so I pass it by, okay, what's better to get out? The Yetzer is blocking you from doing the mitzvah. He's not giving you kids. Okay, so you have kids. Ha ha, Yetzer. See you down the road.
When you pass the Yetzer, now he's pushing you from the back. Okay. So when the Yetzer, you move him out of, you move him an obstacle, you move him aside, now he's shooking you from the back. Okay, he's trying to push you down, so the person doesn't have help, the person doesn't have parnasa. Right before I came, one of the biggest Balei Tshuvas outreach people, the Sephardi, Rav Eliyahu Roustami, have you ever heard of him? Rav Roustami, for Hebrew speakers, he's tremendous, tremendous. The way he wakes up people. His first child died in childbirth. He cried his heart out. And this guy is made in the Sephardi world. He's made hundreds. I bet he's way past. I think he's past four figures of Balei Tshuvas. People, he's been Makariv. I just spoke to him. We're very good friends. I just spoke to him before I left. Asked for a bracha. He talked to me about he wants to make a tape out of my latest book in Hebrew. And I asked him for a bracha, symbiotic relationship. And he told me, I asked him, how his second son? His second son was born with like a jelly spine. The little boy is 4 years old, he doesn't walk yet. He has to have physical therapy every day of his life. It costs him 150 shekels a day. It's unbelievable. The Nisyanis. So you can see, alright, the Yetzer is trying to keep Eliyahu Roustami from not speaking at night. If the guy sits, he learns Torah all day long, and he darshans at night. This is level of difficulty. Okay? So, look, that's what Hashem did to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, because they know what's going to happen to the offspring of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Look where they're going to be. Alright? So you have to know, when a person is having trouble with kids, first of all, right away, and I tell you, I answer questions like this, sometimes I answer questions myself, a lot of times I bring it to the Melitzer, and I see this during the last 10 years, where I've been Mishamish to Melitzer, Melitzer understudy, and I see a lot of couples coming that don't have kids. The couples that don't have kids, 8 out of 10, very high Ruchnius level couples. High caliber couples. And the Yetzer don't want to have kids. But eventually, they're going to have kids, Mitzvah Shem. Right. It takes patience, and it takes emuna, and it takes prayer. Patience, emuna, and prayer. Don't stand by with a stopwatch to Hashem. And for the wives, don't be heartbroken, and don't be disappointed when another month goes by, and the child doesn't come. Because Mitzvah Shem is going to come. It's going to come. And but there's not, the child is not the same child that comes out of tears and a strengthened emuna and comes out of prayer than the child that comes automatically. You see the couples that 9.5 months after the wedding, boom, they have a kid. It's not the same child. I guarantee you, the child that's born to a couple 9.5 months out of the wedding is not the child that's born a couple 8 years after the wedding. They're different. They're different. The kids that are born out of parents, the parents had to cry and they had to be bechazek and they ran to the koisel and something I know a lot of tzaddikim, they said if you do loving kindness for a couple, to go and to help sick people in the hospital, visit sick people, bring them food for Shabbos. I know one couple didn't have kids for 12 years. The Melitzer told them to take food to hospital on Shabbos. Do mitzvah. It's a really difficult mitzvah. And they did that for 6 months. Boom. 15 months after the Melitzer told them that they had a person. Melitzer was sandik there. That's the type of thing. But these kids that are born after blood, sweat, and tears, they grow up to be big tzaddikim. And the Yetzer knows it. And that's why he blocks it. You know, when a tzaddik comes and the shalom of a tzaddik, the Yetzer does everything. He drafts, he brings up the reserves to fight against that. So that's really what's happening. So that, you got to feel good about. Because you're much better bringing in a tzaddik and a shoma, and knowing that you and your rebbetzin are in the right way, than knowing that, you know, you're a schnook. But this is telling you that you're one of Hashem's commandos, and the Yetzer's fighting you, so fight back. Okay, your weapons are Torah, tefillah, and emunah, you got plenty of weapons. And you fight back. And for specifics, I'm going to have specifics. I mean, I can't answer all the specifics. I have to hear the specific circumstances. First thing, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah. And it might keep the pieces getting cold. Let everybody eat. Let everybody eat. You know, make very big broccoli. Yeah, let's sit there. Pretty big people start arguing. meanwhile here. I'm going to make a bracha. So then you don't have to be embarrassed about making a bracha either. Baruch Atu Adinoi Elohim Melech Olam Shehakol Nia Bidvorim. Okay, next question.
Basically.
That's the second principle. The third principle is that he does what's good for the best of each of us.
So I was just curious, like, you know, in terms of, we're all Tzelelokim, we're all in the Shem. So, and then maybe we're showing fall outside this in being Tzelelokim, I'm not sure. But what is the good? For instance, if you take Paro coming up in the Parshiot, or anybody, any, you know, super Russia, you know, is involved in some vicious. Where does Hashem do the good for that person?
Okay, first of all, we got to answer, why is that person here? Why is that person on earth? And to understand why that person... Did you hear the question? The person asked, why, you know, what's the good of a Russia? What's the good of a Paro? How can you... what's the good of a Paro being on this earth, though? That's the question. Why, if Hashem does everything that's good, what's the good? First of all, the purpose of a Russia is not born a Russia. And this is the old kasha of the Rambam. The Rambam asks, if Hashem knows the entire future, how does a person have free will? It's not a contradiction that Hashem knows what we're going to choose, that Hashem does not coerce us to choose in a certain way. Understand that? In other words, Hashem gives us free choice. He knows the choice we're going to make. We don't know the choice we're going to make. Okay. If you notice, in the Torah, in the coming parshas, Vayera and Bo, it's a Gevaldic thing. Hashem says the first makas, and the first makas, he shows that Paro has free choice. In the subsequent makas, it says, Vayakshad Libo, that Hashem hardened Paro's heart. And I said, wait, this isn't fair. Why did Hashem... Richie, come in. Okay. That's Mogamalka, that's a Salvashava Siddha. Don't have to worry about that. Rabbi Nachman says that everything you put in your mouth for Shabbos, and Mogamalka said, the Sfarim call it Suda Levit, the fourth Suda. It's all godliness. So you know, you're not eating pizza, you're eating godliness. And the fact that, you know, we're together, being mechazik each other.
I need another question.
Good. So as soon as Paro established what his choice is, Hashem says, aha, this is your choice. You choose to do evil. Alright, now I am going to take advantage of your choice to sanctify my name. That's what Hashem does to them. Okay, Paro established what his choice is. That he's going to be evil and he's not going to let the Jews go. Okay, so now he's going to get hit and it's going to make a sanctification of Hashem's name. So we all have to understand from this, we are all vessels for sanctifying Hashem's name. Everyone in this room has chosen to be tzaddikim because you don't understand the tremendous impression that each and every one of you has made